This is Richard at the Men of the House podcast. I am also part of the Podcast Connection Network. Check out my show and the other shows like the one you're about to listen to. The link is in the episode description.
Welcome to another episode of Connection Over Perfection, the place where we embrace the essence of being human. I am Amber McCray, your guide on this journey of discovery and authenticity. Today, we have the privilege of sharing space with a guest who's full of courage, creativity, and unwavering conviction. Michael Magruch, an Austrian-Californian visionary who embodies the spirit of finding what feels right and true, guiding others to do the same with a blend of boldness and understanding. Michael's passion isn't just about helping others navigate their paths. It's about shedding light on the journey so each step feels like home. He stands unapologetically in his truth, inspiring us all to do the same with a grace that only comes from genuine confidence. As a multidisciplinary artist, strategist, and educator, Michael has embraced his neurodivergency to see the world through a lens that captures the human experience in its purest form. He's authored 6 profound books, offering new paradigms on art, humanity, and the systems that bind us. With over 250 guest appearances since March 2022, Michael's voice resonates with a clarity that cuts through the noise, reaching into the hearts of our collective consciousness. Michael's achievements are milestones on a map that charts not the pursuit of achievements, but the quest for meaning. And he has been a beacon for neurodivergency, using his voice to advocate for education that goes beyond the traditional boundaries and uplifts every unique mind. We're going to talk about what it means to live unshackled by systematic relevance, to dance to the rhythm of our own human-centric lives, and to celebrate the individuality that makes us irreplaceably ourselves. Please join me in welcoming Michael to our show. Let's explore, connect, and discover the art of being unapologetically us. Michael, welcome.
Thank you, Amber. I think we can just turn it off because you said it all. No, I'm very appreciative to hear I wasn't a failure because I was born as a failure. I was sick. And then when I went to school, I went to school at 7. I couldn't even understand anything. I couldn't understand it, but I couldn't regurgitate it. And my whole life, I was a failure, like a system-relevant failure. I wasn't aware there is something else. I was thinking what most of the humans think, you know? And you have the highest suicide rate right now. The kids all believe, you know, system relevance is more important. You know, you have to be a CEO, you have to go to Harvard or a big school and get $500,000 in debt just to be part of the whole, which is driven by us in our DNA. We are all one in the same boat, if we want or not. And we're driven in the same boat. And if we want or not, nobody can escape that boat. You know, what system tells you, okay, if you're poor, but if you do this, then you're rich. And that's a lie. Because what makes me rich and happy is different than what makes you, because nature doesn't make mistakes. We are all a part of nature and everybody is one of one. So even if you say, yeah, he knows all this, yeah, but that doesn't mean that you don't know. We are both right. Which I keep teaching people, I said, we are all right because everybody's a one of one. If we were all, let's say nature would be different and we would be all the same. And there would be woman and man and other races. That's what be it. If we generalize it as that, and it did where all the DNA was all the same, everything was the same, our life perspective, then we could actually live a system-relevant mm-hmm. life, but it's not the fact. The fact is everybody's one of one. We are all equal because nature wouldn't make a mistake. So, oh, okay, I did a woman. I make woman a little bit less worthy. That race needs to be, yeah, that needs to be pushed down and enslaved. And you know, it's insanity. That is complete insanity. And especially when we reverse engineer systemic. So first we put the woman down, we put the racist down, we put the gay people down, we put everybody down. And now we reverse engineer and says, yeah, the system is the holy God and he makes the people reverse engineer equal, which we are. That is, you can never be equal if you reverse engineer something you are by nature. So we are all by nature equal. And the reason, and this is what people don't get, a system looks at us generalized as a species. You know, there's the species of humanity, and there's gender, race, sexuality. These guys need food. These guys need water. These guys need, you know, if the food or water is not clean or something, doesn't matter, you know? And they need all that stuff. And they like sex. They like love. They like, you know, money. They like, and that's it. But you can't generalize it us because we are all unique. Some people love a lot of money. Some people don't care about money. Some people like love. Some people like animals. Everybody is different. And when we do that, when we look at the species like that, it's flawed just to look at the species like that. Yes, it's all true. It's not wrong that there's male and female and different races. Yeah, I understand that. But it is not what we are. We are all one of one.
I love that.
And there's more masculine woman and there's more feminine man than any woman can be, right? So there are geniuses in every race. And when we have to look, instead of saying, okay, we can generalize these guys or this niche. Now we get better. We get more in the detail, right? So not only gender, but there's a niche. There's these people that like cars. There's these people. You can't look at humans like that.
What I think I hear you saying is that this system, right? The rules that the world has created for us to follow, basically, right? That's the system.
Yeah.
All these rules, everything that we do, jobs, work, school, religion at all the rules. That's the system.
Yeah.
And I think what I hear you saying is that that doesn't work for us because I love your phrase, we're one of one. We are not the same. And so one system isn't going to work the same for everyone. And when we continue to disconnect from one another, when the systems try to disconnect us, try to segregate us, whatever you want to call it, I call it disconnecting because we're all connected. We're all human. We're all here as beings. And so in that aspect, we're all the same. And so when we try to disconnect from that and we try to make different levels and we try to fit into that system that one is better or worse or less than or more than, it takes us away from our essence of who we are. And it takes the focus away of what we're really here for is to create together and live together. But the system creates this disconnect. We create this disconnect because we're not seeing that we are special. And so are you.
Yeah.
Is that close to what you're saying?
No, 100%. It's one thing I want to do a caveat here. We created the systems.
Right.
So our generations before us,
right.
Yeah? The problem is they're outdated. They're not bad. Systems are supposed to be our collaborative, because we are the collaborative creative species. Otherwise, we wouldn't have New York, Singapore, Apple, Google. We wouldn't have anything that's big. You know,
right.
We are collaborative creator animal. But the first system before all that were financial principles. And financial principles create a continuous imbalance. And because all systems' base is financial principles, because then they have to function, these systems outdated. They didn't update because there's a lack also for systems. It's not just for us.
Mm.
Nobody feels it's ever enough whatever we do, right? But there's a problem. I love systems. I think if systems were looked at as our let's say, Amber, this is our system. It's our artwork. Let's make it, not like build it up, make money, and then get out of
it. Well, I love that. I love what you're saying is that because it's either this black or white. Systems are good or systems are bad, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's this back to that duality. No, systems can be really good. I need systems. I have systems so that I can actually work and get shit
done.
Right. Especially for me, like neurodivergent, I need systems that help me. Yeah. And so I love what you're saying is that we just need to adjust the systems.
Update them. It's not like we have to separate, let's stop with the government and make something new. No, we're not saying that. Update them and actually update first before we do any systems is financial principles. Because financial principles drive everything. And because when you and I make $1,000 today, tomorrow we need to make two.
Right.
And put along the pressure when you hear that, you finally got to the plateau of being a superstar. And now you have to keep doing it because otherwise you lose it. And that's the thing. It cannot go always up. And we have so internalized that. Because also when everybody feels it's never enough, no matter what I do, then we think it's real, but it isn't real.
Right.
It isn't real because it's artificially made because we made all the systems we created. So we cannot change nature. Yeah, we can exploit it, but we can't change it. Because change, I mean, talk to an animal. I mean, it does what it does. I mean, you can train it, but basically, if it wants what it wants, it does it. But we can change the systems.
So, are you saying that in order to change the system, right, to update the system, we as a collective need to be connected to ourselves and remember that we are one of one, because that will create the enoughness that these other systems have weighed so heavy. And so if we feel enough, we can update these systems, and these systems were made coming from lack. And so that is part of what is not working. It's just recreating this guilt and shame and this not enoughness, which is weighing so heavy on everyone in society and in a whole. And we're not going anywhere. We're just spiraling downward. Yeah.
See, I always say to the people, how can you not be enough when you are one of 8 billion people? How can you? How can you ever justify, verbalize it? Say, I'm not enough because, and then say, because I'm not a genius. You're not supposed to be a genius. You're supposed to be your genius, that one of one. You should be, you're finding, life is finding, why am I different than you, Amber? That's my life. My life is, why am I different than Charles or Randy or all the people? Why am I different than them? And in that discovery, and that I learned that discovery when I engage with you, when I dance with you, when I dance with Randy, when I dance with Charles, and I dance with them. And in that, I'm opening my life perspective. And by opening the life perspective, we just dance. And there's nobody right or wrong, because how can we? How can we be right or wrong when everybody is one of one? So we learn that. We learn to dance with each other, open our perspective. And in this, we experience the human potential. We say, oh my God, synergistically, you and I fit actually together. We are totally different. Different gender, everything. But when we dance with each other, we feel, our perspectives are opening, both. And I said, man, we are not different opinion. And even if we were a different opinion, the dance in that is opening us up and gives us so much. All of a sudden, you feel alive.
Yeah, that energy exchange, for sure.
Yeah, to feel alive, because you say, even if we're different, we fit. And it's the synergistic, because one, it's like a flashlight. One thing is a battery, one is a spring, one is a light bulb, and you put it all together, it's nothing, right? A spring, it's okay. But when you put it together, you have a flashlight. And that's the human potential. And not instead that you go, oh, I create something and then destroy it and then start something else. Oh, when it fits synergistically, it's magic. Magic is also not magic, because magic is what you can't understand logically.
So I feel this, and I know this to be true because of my journey, but I had to discover this. How would you tell somebody who's been through really traumatic things, who's been very disconnected from themselves, who's been told their whole life, you aren't enough, you are not one of one, and you don't matter?
So first, I think the highest form that I found, unless you have a better one, is we have two perspectives of life. When we walk through our life, we have two. The one is the system relevant one, you know, the be, have a job, go to school, have a job, do this, whatever. And then there's the, which can be very fun if that's your passion. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. if you are a hairdresser and you love doing hair and you enjoy to go into your hair salon, it's your own hair salon. You love to go, you talk to the people, you create new things. It's very creative, right? And then it's a good thing. And this is system relevant, how it's supposed to be, human-centric. And then there's human centricity, which is has no goal, no target. It is just be that you understand, you get in every cell of you, you are one of one, and you observe yourself. I'm one of one. I'm right now going into the hair salon. And you're not, this is first, because you cannot be system relevant if you're not a human first. So to segregate between the perspective, life perspective, in two, which makes your life right away 50% easier. I promise you, I guarantee you, when you get system relevance, you know, my job, my thing, my income, blah, 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 and human centricity, we are part of nature. We are part with the animals and the trees and everything else. And we are one of one. And we need to fit. And we know, ultimately, we all fit synergistically perfect, like a flashlight. But we are so, we're distorted because we're thinking, no, the system relevance is more important than everything. Because we made, again, to the faulty principle, we made money survival. Because of faulty principle, it's never enough.
And this comes back to what I teach, and what was true for me is getting curious, that awareness that what is even happening? Are you in system relevance? Is this where you want to be? If you're not happy, getting curious about why, what's not clicking, what doesn't feel right. I feel like that's the first thing, because before you can say, I'm choosing to be system relevant and I love it because I'm one of one, you have to get curious and step out and become aware. Because before I was aware, before I started getting curious, I felt that the system was a negative thing and owned me.
Mm-hmm. We all do. You're not the exception here.
And so I'm trying to think about how I made that shift, that choice, that awareness. First, I think it was just becoming aware that there was a system, to be completely honest.
Exactly. You think it's the world. This is what life is. I mean, look what we teach kids.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on school.
Fireman chief. Fireman chief. We don't teach them first what it is to be human.
Right.
That you're one of one. We say, no. You have to choose what you want to be.
Right.
You know? And they don't even know what it is to be human. How can they choose already a system relevance?
I love that. Well, that's really big. I absolutely hate when people ask my son, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm like, he's 10.
Okay. He doesn't even know. He doesn't know what a man is.
Right.
He doesn't know nothing.
Well, and to that point is, why are we not instilling and teaching to be that one of one? Be yourself. Why is your job who you are?
That's updating, because educational systems are 1845. Pretty much the same thing. It comes from Germany, from my neighbors.
Right.
Germany, you know, Prussian.
Yeah.
You know, get them all in, make like an army.
Yeah.
It's like make an army, basically. Instead of saying, hey, we are all humans. We can really blow ourselves up and see how great we are. by being one of one and see how we fit together, how we can fit together. And it doesn't matter if you're a gender or race or anything, because everybody has a thing. Everybody has a unique ability. And you know the data. I mean, the scientific data is sitting that kids with 3 years old, all 90% of geniuses, they can have an ability that nobody has. And when they are 30 or 20 after the education, there's only 3% gifted ones.
Right.
So literally we punish them out what they support. And I'm not saying, oh, free for all, get all crazy. There must be order.
Right.
But there must be order in a human-centric way, not in a reaction of, oh, this kid is bad. Let's beat him up, or let's punish him, or let's exclude him or segregate him.
Right. You know? Even the school system, and you know, we could probably talk about this for hours, but it only caters to like one or two ways that kids learn. And some of the most genius children do not learn from sitting still and reading a book. that's proven.
And today, any knowledge is nothing anyway. It's nothing. I mean, Einstein said it. Knowledge is, it's the experience. It's important, not the knowledge.
Yes.
Yes, that's what Einstein says. You think anybody would pick that up? You know, they think, his relativity theory and all that BS. No, what he really said was the experience is what counts. Because I cannot tell you what it is to be a woman, you know, because I haven't experienced being a woman, you know. Perhaps if I try trans, I would figure that out, you know. But I don't know what it is to be a woman. And I would never say, I know what you guys do. That's why I say men should never decide anything about a woman. You know, like abortion and all this stuff. How can you? That's by nature.
Right. Well, and that comes back to everybody's truth is their truth. And this is in almost every podcast I've been doing lately, this is the theme, is that in a society where we try to get everyone to see the fucking same, everybody wants everybody to see exactly the same way. And we can't. It is not humanly possible to do that.
That's why we're all blind, and that's why everybody is just attention that doesn't get you into what naturally attention is, like mating, or attention is saying, I'm growing, get away from me. Yeah, it's just attention. So I get attention and nothing, and then you fall off. So I give Amber attention, and Amber is yelling and doing whatever. I give you attention, and then you have my attention. Then I follow you, I get a like, and that's it. There's nothing that leads to anything else. So attention is the completely shaming of generality, that we generalize humans, and it's just, okay, and it's an attention economy. No, it's not. Because really, they said before a very big social media was taken over, it was 80% bots. 80% bots. And we are in the lie that saying, oh, everybody loves us. And you know, when you get likes, they say nothing. It doesn't matter. If I get 1,000 likes today, I say nothing. It doesn't mean anything to me.
We're trying to overcompensate for truly validating one another. We all want to be validated. We want to be heard and seen and valued for who we are. And so I feel like this overcompensation, that to try to feed that natural desire by, like you said, these bots and just this fake attention, where really, because we cannot grasp that your truth is true and my truth is true, and then I can listen to you and I can validate you. I don't have to necessarily agree, but that's not what this is about. It's about hearing you, and it's about letting you know that I hear you.
Open.
Right.
Open the perspective. Right. Not getting a like. Who cares? That's a click. Yeah. It's nice. It was. And also, you don't know if the guy was laughing at you. You know, he liked because you made him laugh, or you made him cry, or you made him change his mind his whole life.
Right.
You know,
it's because we're starving for that validation that these likes and clicks are working, that everybody is hungry for them because we just want to be seen and heard. This is why you have protests, screaming, people fighting is because everybody's trying to be heard. And we don't know as a society how to just listen to one another and not defend our own thought process while we're hearing one another. If we could actually have conversations and disagree, things would be very different.
See, what we have by nature, what we're trying to do is we all feel we are one of one. We unconsciously, we feel we are one of one. Because I don't know a single person that hasn't felt he's very special in some way. That's a natural feeling. But psychology, a system says, no, that's ego. No, it's not ego. You are one of one. And you feel it. Do you know? And then you give up during your life. You give up on it. You say, I feel special when you're a kid. I think I'm a race driver or whatever. And then you just give up on it, you know, because the generalization becomes more important of what you feel. And that is destroying us. That is destroying us. And what the sad thing is, we cannot reverse engineer our value because we are valued by nature. It's like saying we need to make woman equal. Women are equal by nature. Right. And not only are women equal, as the gender, every woman, every man is unique to contribute with their uniqueness to a synergistic fit, not to a hierarchical fit, to a synergistic fit. And you have little tribes that give you safety, you know, in that, and you try to think, and when you grow out of the tribe, but it's okay too. That's okay. Everything is okay. There is no mistakes in living, you know? And when we fit synergistically, I mean, you experience this right now. I experience this right now. It's just so amazing. And people can relate to our talk because we're talking with our six senses, not with, oh, I've read this book. Okay, Amber, let me tell you, I've read this book. And then let me refer you to Einstein and let me refer you to Steve Jobs and let me refer you to this. And Chief Staff said that and Elon Musk said that.
It goes back to that experience.
Yeah, it's just everybody is referring. Just say what you say. Say what you say. Don't say, you know, these people hide also behind systems. We are so disempowered by generalizing that we hide. Say, yeah, I'm a man. I'm a white man. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. I'm a Christian.
Right.
You hide. Who the frick are you? You know, I have no feeling who you are. You are all over, and especially sadly, in our diversity, we have a problem where people are so shamed and trashed that they, and I almost was there, that they're, I mean, it took me 50 years to get out of my system relevance of the linear thinking, you know, trying to be linear thinking. I just was not, I'm the other spectrum. I'm on the other end. I'm the creative, on the creative spot. You know, there's neurodivergent people that are so harmed, so destroyed that they at the end they put all their life force into being linear. They're more linear and more system relevant than anybody else. You know, they beat everybody. And I feel this really sad because they never find out who they are.
Yeah.
If there isn't a catastrophe, they never, if you, you're a CEO, everything works and blah, 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 blah. You never find out who you are. You're great. You are that CEO. You're the best CEO forever. So what? Who are you?
Well, do you think that comes from that overcompensation from being told that you're not enough? And so you can use that system to build you up per se, right? So it looks good.
You hide behind
it. Exactly.
Yeah, you hide behind it. And you go and fit what the system needs. The system needs sowers. You become the best sower. The system needs people that be organized in fixing this. You become that person, and you don't care about the people. You just get fixed this, you know?
Do you think that that comes from this innate fear? Because I feel like our society, religion, school, jobs, a lot of the systems are fear-based.
They need control. They also icons. Icons are not God. Icons are system-made deities. Yeah. I mean, they're not like, you know, they're system-made deities. You know, it's just in the religions, Buddha, God, whatever. And I love this when the super CEO says, yeah, I go on Sunday at church and blah, 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 blah. And I said, so what is in nature? And so, no, we handle nature. I said, you can have no sense about God ever if you don't see yourself, which you are. We can't deny we are part of nature. Yeah. If you don't see that you're part of nature and you don't feel it when you go in the woods or when you play with an animal or when you just smell the air, you know, you're part of nature. You wouldn't smell the air. You wouldn't feel the water. You wouldn't feel this. It's not like something we created. We created systems. That's why we can update
right.
them.
And that comes back to that not enoughness, right? That fear of we have to follow the system and we have to be in the system relevance and we have to do all of the things. We have to hide behind it because we don't feel enough. And if we step out, we might not be enough. If we learn who we are, that person might not be like, we might not be enough if we step out of the system.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So look at all the artists, because they experience what you and I experience right now, the dance, and they dance with their non-physical, right? They bring in a sculpture, they bring in a hairstyle, they bring in whatever, and they create something. And by that interaction, the clearer that interaction is, the more people understand it, because they see that you are one of one and your hair are the best, right? Or your painting is the best or whatever. You recognize it. The clearer you are, the more it says, okay, that's her voice. But how many artists you know where they have no voice? They have to do everything and they feel good by doing it, but they don't know who they are. They don't find who they are in their, because they try what sells, which destroys even the creative act, you know? So it's always comes down to two things. I think the first thing is, because it's never enough financial principles, they're not balanced. They're not creating a balance. Enough is not a value proposition. You need to make more, do more all the time. It doesn't work the other way. It dominates that. And I think that's out there. You can fix it. We can fix it. We created it. If we created an imbalance,
right,
you don't think we can create a balance? I mean, we are not the God. We cannot make say, hey, the sun should come out today. We cannot do that. But we in systems, we can update them all and make them beautiful and make them artworks of us and enjoy being. You go into a government building, and what is if you would go there and say, oh my God, it's unbelievable. And the people, and what an experience, instead of in, out, nobody gets hurt, boom, 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 and punishment. You know, it just, you don't even get a letter from the IRS to say, Amber, you paid for 20 years, you paid your taxes on time, you paid enough. We really appreciate to make it as an easy job. That would be just a letter. That would be
a start.
I was like, oh,
that, yeah, that felt good.
And then you feel good and right. Say, hey, yes, that's why I paid taxes, you know?
Right.
So you don't even get that, because we are so in a lack. You know, we are so all in this, because the financial, and it's the financial principles. When they are updated, then everything fall. But first we have to be conscious that it's not us. We are not faulty. It's because our generations before have created a faulty system that is so outdated now that it outdates all the systems in the world.
Yeah.
That is the sense. And we cannot get out of the hamster wheels. We're having a third world war right now, considering of a third world. Are we insane? Mm-hmm. I mean, there is no consciousness. War isn't what it was once. You know, it's not like it's me or you. You know, I have to hit you over the head, or you hit me over the head. No, it's a construct to handle that. It's never enough. It is a construct to handle. It's basically erase everything and start from scratch. But the sad thing is, all humans have to pay for it, with taxes, with lives, with effort, with rebuilding. Well, we can create the most beautiful world that, I mean, the world is beautiful, but we can make it so much elegant, and we don't have to think 80%. The beggar and the billionaire have to think not 80% about money. Mm. It's the same. You're a billionaire today. You should have zero problems. Mm. Ask any rich person, and that's, I know, true. You know him. Right? I know him. You know him. They are more contained and controlled than you and I.
Yeah.
They are completely, the richer, everybody wants to be a leader. And I wrote a thing, I said, leadership is a part of the team. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, the leader is, and I've talked to a lot of leaders and they all agree this is the best metaphor is the twirling the plates, right?
Yes.
And when you twirl the plates, you're not saying, oh, I want only the green ones. I let the red ones fall, right? Mm. You have all them. The leader is that is, number one, the most self-aware. And it is the one that is able to twirl all the plates, all the humans, the unique humans, you know? And if that wasn't the case, if that's the best metaphor, how can he be above a leader? How can he be in the hierarchy higher? He can't. He is a part of the team. The guy that the captain that goes to the ship is a part of the team. He cannot do anything without them rowing.
Right.
Steve Jobs was a figurehead. Do you think he created the whole Apple? No, he made decisions, you know, as CEO decisions. You know, and this glorifying, iconicizing of people. We did it. When I see Google, this was when I got there with the system relevance. I said, you know what? I'm looking at Google. I said, I'm part of humans that created that. You know, I'm mm-hmm. not, I didn't create, but I'm from the same species that created Google, that created Apple, that created New York, that created Singapore, that created the world.
I love that. I love how you include yourself where most people disclude themselves. Like, I'm not part of that. And I kind of just want to,
that's system
yeah,
relevant.
I just kind of want to wrap this all in a bow, because I feel like I could talk to you for hours about this. Like, there's so many things, right? Yeah. So we'll include some articles from Michael in the description, definitely, and all of his information. Yeah. But just to kind of recap, is it goes back to learning how to feel enough. And that starts with really embodying that one of one. And everything starts there. Everything really starts there. And when we each begin to feel that one of one, then we can make some shifts like we are doing here today. You felt it. I know the listeners felt it, you know, and that's really where it starts. And Michael, what is one thing that you want to leave the listeners with?
Being human is the highest form that you can be on this planet, on a physical planet. So, you know, I hear these people, I'm going in spirituality. Or I say, okay, when you're dying, you go into spirituality and figure that out. Right? But right now, you are a spiritual being here, right, on the planet. So first, enjoy the body. I always say, breathe in and touch yourself, because that you are in the body, because you can breathe mentally. I can just think about breathing and just force myself to breathe. No, touch your body, and this is you. You are one of one. And say, do you want to really go against nature or God or whatever to say, you know, I'm one of one, but I can just kill myself because I'm generalized like white man or green Martians or whatever. You know, it's just thing. And I think human is the highest. When you look at human uniqueness, is the highest form that you can reach on this, and you have to love that oneness that you are. There's no other way.
Yeah.
Because without the body, you are nothing. You can't be physical. You can't be physical if you say, oh, I need bigger boobs. I need a face job. I need this. I hate my
not
belly.
enoughness.
Not enoughness. Yeah, because the system generalized human. All humans need to be super skinny and look like we do. But the funny thing is, remember in the 20s, they had no boobs. Then they had
right.
big boobs.
Everything
now they
changes,
have big butts.
Right.
Yeah. So if the generalization, yeah,
right,
is sucking, sucking, suck. Any generalization is hurting humanity and segregating us. And that's why I want to
yeah.
leave everybody.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Just that one of one. Michael, thank you so much. Can you just tell the listeners, all this information will be in the description, but where
yeah.
can they find you?
Just one, also simple, michaelm.com, Michael with two L's, michaelm.com. And that's everything. There's the music, the podcast. I have a 30-second podcast only. So to show you the first superpower, which is a creation. And it's not about the product. You know, it's not about the art product. It's all about the creation. And all my books, my music, my paintings, my podcasts, my videos, everything you get there.
Everything. Awesome. Michael, it has been such a pleasure. And thank you for being one of one. And thank you for allowing me to be one of one. Right?
Exactly. See the
yeah,
dance.
I love that.
It's the human dance. It's not the domination, you know?
Yes. Thank you. It has been a pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you for giving me the canvas to paint.
The views and opinions expressed by myself and any guest on this podcast are solely ours and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of any organizations we are affiliated with. The content provided is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as medical advice. As always, consult with a trusted healthcare professional regarding any medical conditions or concerns.